Sorry, Joe, I was supposed to let you know.
Okay, just wanted to make sure we were.
I thought you could read my mind, but I guess not. Okay. Now, I guess it's 6:02, maybe. We call the meeting to order, and we'll have a roll call. Supervisor Rose is here, Supervisor Decker.
Here.
Supervisor Thomas.
Here.
Supervisor Nardigan.
Present.
I'm here. Supervisor Nedweski is excused. Supervisor Carroll is on his way. He should be here in a minute. And I didn't hear from Zach, anybody?
I just texted him, so.
Okay.
As far as I know, he's coming.
Okay, and we have the, what, building government. Okay, citizen comments. Any citizen comments? Any citizen comments? Any citizen comments? Seeing none, citizen comments are closed. I really don't have any comments, pretty much. So what we're gonna do is, any communication, sorry, supervisor comments. Any supervisor's comments? Supervisor comments? Did anybody, did everybody have dinner tonight or something? Or they just wanted to run away to have dinner? Oh, okay. So, you got it. Okay, seeing none. Communication, Joe, do we have anything in there?
We have no communications.
Okay, approval of minutes. I believe you guys, we, George, she just put it in. No, come on, wait, okay. He just put the minutes on the table there. You guys had the chance to look at it.
The vice chair noted that there were a number of corrections that needed to be made. Some of the version emailed out earlier this afternoon. They're in the nature of correcting names and a couple of punctuation matters. So those will be updated, corrected minutes in front of you.
Move to approve.
Second. Moved by Vice Chair Decker, second by Supervisor Rose. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Government?
Aye.
Supervisors?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Okay, we're gonna move in. I'm moving to resolution number 6, and if it's okay with, there is no objection, I would like Courtney, text me, is on his way, should be here in a few minutes. So maybe we can go to number 7 first and then come back to 6.
Or a motion.
I apologize, Mr. Chairman, I have to go get my remarks upstairs. Be right back.
Okay.
Okay. Let's have a little discussion on that. Should we move the around on the numbers there, or what do you guys think?
If she's on her way, I'd like to hear from her.
No.
No, we'll move to.
We could go to number 11.
He's on his way.
7 is here. She just doesn't have her, Tammy doesn't have her remarks.
Oh, okay.
7 is here and 8 is here, so we can go, you know, to give Courtney a chance to get here. Also Supervisor Barry just texted me also that it's gonna be a few minutes late is with this doctor appointment.
Like Supervisor Thomas said, do we wanna take up like 11 and 12?
11, 12, what is it? I think those are difficult ones.
Exactly, it might take a while.
All right, so is it okay with everyone and we'll take 11? Any objections?
Yep.
Okay. Number 11, resolution recognizing June 2023 as National Dairy Month. I believe Vice Chair Decker was one of the sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
So,
this resolution honors our dairy farmers and members of Kenosha County's dairy industry for their work to keep food on families' tables and contributions to our economy. And it's to recognize June 2023 as National Dairy Month. And the dairy breakfast is in June also. So that's all.
Okay. So. Any comments? Is there a motion?
I'll second.
No, you need to move it.
Well, I need to move
I'll
it.
Second.
Yep.
You'll second.
Okay, so moved by Supervisor Thomas, second by Supervisor Nordigan. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Oppose? Passes. Where we do 12, since it did not take too long on that one.
Sounds good.
That will be resolution recognizing May 7th, 13 as Public Service Recognition Week. And again, Vice Chair Decker.
This resolution recognizes the public servants for their outstanding contributions to Kenosha County during Public Service Recognition Week. It's for all of our employees that are in the public service, and not just our employees, but all public service employees. That's about it.
Okay. Anybody wants to make a motion?
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Supervisor Thomas, second by Supervisor Rose. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Oppose? Passes. Should we do all this at once first, and
yes,
then we'll move that? Okay, let's do number 13. Resolution recognizing May 15, 2023 as PE Officers Memorial Day, and May 14, 20 as National Police Week. Supervisor Decker.
This recognizes May 15th as Peace Officers Memorial Day. As we all know, the Kenosha County and all the police forces in Kenosha County have had police officers killed in the line of duty. So Peace Officers Memorial Day recognizes those officers who lost their lives or have become disabled in the line of duty. And then also May 14th through the 20th is National Police Week, and this is to honor the men and women who keep our county and citizens safe.
Okay. Is there a motion?
Second.
Who made the motion? Sorry.
Mark.
Supervisor Nordigan, second by Supervisor Rose. Any discussion?
Aye.
Youth and Government? Aye. Supervisors, all in
aye.
Favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes. What don't we do 14? Resolution recognizing May 14, 20 as National Skill Nursing Care.
Do you want me to take it again?
Well, if you don't mind.
Sure. This honors our Brookside Care Center and the skilled nursing care workers in there, and thanks them for all the hard work they do and the great job they do at Brookside.
Okay. Is that a motion?
Motion to pass.
Second.
Motion to approve by Supervisor Thomas, second by Supervisor Nordigan. Any discussion? How do we vote? Youth and Government?
Aye.
Supervisors?
Aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Passes.
Okay. Who made the motion?
I'm sorry?
Who made the motion?
Supervisor Thomas. Are we going too fast, Joe, or we're okay? Okay, then.
This is my usual gig, you remember that.
You're doing a good job, Joe. Okay, so I believe we're gonna go to resolution number 7. Resolution to appoint Elena Arrington to service on the Racial and Ethnic Equity Commission. Who is gonna speak on that? I believe is Tammy.
Chairman Nudo and committee members, thank you for your consideration of these appointments to the Racial and Ethnic Equity Commission this evening. Elena Arrington. Ms. Elena Arrington has called Kenosha home for over 26 years. She attended Carthage College and earned a bachelor's degree in sociology and a master's degree in business design and innovation. She is committed to servant leadership and recognizes the value of the REEC and the need for discussion around racial equity and advocacy. As a campus and community facilitator, she brings an extensive perspective of the Kenosha community that will be valuable for conversations regarding accessibility to resources and community engagement. Ms. Arrington is noted for demonstrating her commitment to inclusion for marginalized communities and tackling tough conversations around racial equity and social justice. She looks forward to joining the REEC team of ethical leaders who welcome productive conversations around change for all communities who reside in Kenosha County. Ms. Arrington will fill the seat vacated by Mimi Yang and would serve an initial term which expires in December of 2024.
Okay. Thank you. I see that Ms. Arrington is in here. Would you like to make a comment or anything?
Sure. Yes. Hello.
Please everyone. Come forward if you can.
Hi, and thank you. As she mentioned, I have called Kenosha home for the last 26 years of my life, and I went to school here, and I look forward to continuing conversations around racial equity and diversity, and it would be meaningful to continue doing this work because it is historical in my family. Reverend Olin Arrington Jr. and David Arrington both served here in the county, and I look forward to continuing the work that they've done and that they pioneered for diverse communities. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any discussion?
I'll move for approval.
Okay, second. Moved by Supervisor Rose.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Thomas. Any discussion?
Supervisor just Rose. Briefly, I called her father, David Arrington, to suggest that he serve on the committee. If you recall, David was a member of the county board for a number of years. And David said, well, why don't you nominate my daughter, Elena? And we got together and we talked, and I found her to be an outstanding individual, well-qualified, very enthusiastic about the community and what's good for it, and suggested her name to the county executive, and which brings her here this evening. So I urge your enthusiastic support.
Any other comments? Any other comments? I'd just like to make one small comment. As Supervisor Rose said, Dave Arrington served on this board, and actually I had the pleasure to serve with him. And well, let's call it a pleasure to sit right next to him for a term. So, which was great, and welcome to, hopefully, it will be approved and you'll be a great addition to this. Okay, with that being said, let's vote on it. Youth and Government.
Aye.
Okay. Supervisors?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you. And I can see we have a latecomer, so
yeah.
I'm sure that Supervisor Rodriguez just joined us. Should we go to number six? I believe Courtney is here. So, Tammy?
Present again. Thank you again. Again, this is another appointment for the Racial and Ethnic Equity Commission. Mr. Courtney Marshall has been a resident of Kenosha for over 30 years with deep roots in the community. He has worked in the Kenosha Unified School District as an educational support staff and has demonstrated passion for helping kids in our community, including countless hours of service, not only with Walking in My Shoes, but also at events such as those sponsored by the Boys and Girls Club and KUSD's African American Youth Initiative Club. As a realtor, Mr. Marshall brings his understanding of housing market realities and his experience on the Government Affairs Committee for the South Shore Realtors Association to the REEC. He has been noted for advocating with compassion and respect and integrity and honesty and the value he places on teamwork and communication. Mr. Marshall will fill the seat vacated by Brayden Backer and will serve an initial term which expires in December of 2023.
Thank you, Tammy. Courtney, would you like to say a couple words?
Oh, sure. Hello, Courtney Marshall. I've been a resident here for a very long time. Love helping and stepping up and doing whatever I can to help the community. So look forward to serving if I'm appointed. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Is that a motion?
Move.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Norton, second by Vice Chair Decker. Any discussion?
We just need another bald guy on the commission.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I said we need another bald guy on the commission, that's all.
Thank you, Supervisor. once it comes. Okay, that being said, all in favor?
Aye.
Supervisor?
Aye.
Okay, passes unanimously, and I want to say to the closer, it's not completely closed yet, but the first step is done. The reason I say that Courtney is in real estate and he goes by the closer. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry? Oh, number eight, resolution to appoint supervisor, resolution to appoint Dwayne O'Keefe to serve on the Racial and Ethnic Equity Commission. Where's Tammy? Are you here, Tammy?
Still here.
Would you like to the honor
love
again?
To. Thank One
you.
More time.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah. Again, Mr. Dwayne O'Keefe is a small business owner who has been in business here in Kenosha for 20 plus years.
Oh, that was the other
He
one.
Raised five children in this community and is proud of the success they have also been able to achieve. As a registered member of the Lakota Ray Band of Chippewa Indians and of mixed heritage, Mr. O'Keefe grew up with the experience of being treated as a second-class citizen in both worlds. Originally from Superior, Mr. O'Keefe was raised on public assistance. When he arrived in Kenosha, he was a practicing alcoholic and homeless. He has now been sober for 30 years. He values hard work for the possibilities it can provide and is grateful for the opportunities this community has given him. Mr. O'Keefe managed an Amoco station for 9 years here prior to starting his own business. He served 7 years with the Kenosha County Dive Team as a public safety diver. He believes we all have a duty to participate and to contribute. Serving on the Racial and Ethnic Equity Commission is an opportunity for him to fulfill that duty to give back. Mr. O'Keefe will fill the seat vacated by Daryl Green and would serve an initial term which expires in December of 2024.
Thank you, Tammy. And just to, for the record, Supervisor Carroll has joined us. Okay, Dwayne, would you want to introduce yourself, please?
Hello, my name is Dwayne O'Keefe. As was said, I am half Chippewa Indian from LCO or Lakota Ray. And I've been fortunate enough to move into this community, and I raised five children here that I think have flourished. And I myself, I think that I have benefited a lot from Kenosha, and I would like to give back a little bit, and that would be to serve with this. I mean, as Tammy had mentioned, was that I grew up in a very racial community where we were looked at totally different, because where I grew up there was only two races at the time, and that was it, more or less. And not only that, but we grew up poor, so that was another racial thing that I thought was a big part of life, was growing up poor is also tough, and it also has implications for life. I knew that when I got here that I would have to work hard to get ahead, to be able to do what I needed to do to stay alive, and one of them was one, quit drinking, and the other was I wanted to succeed, and this community really helped me to do that. And I didn't really realize, if we have a lot of racism here, I didn't feel it, just because of the fact that I've succeeded here in this community. And I've always kind of branded myself with, like on my building, I have a native bear and a medicine wheel. And I've always had that on my building. And no one's ever coming to me and said, well, where's your feathers? Or anything like that to me. And that's kind of where I was coming from. That would have been an aspect of that. People would have came to me just because of that and just said derogatory stuff to me or whatever. I did make a mistake on my application. I ended up putting that I was nominated by two gentlemen, and I guess I didn't know the difference between nomination and suggestion, and it was a suggestion that I apply and do a nomination. And I just would really enjoy the fact that, one, as I'm a listener, I like to listen to what people are talking about and then later, you know, try to decipher exactly what they have to say and bring my two cents into it afterwards. So I think that you guys have picked some pretty good people already for the committee, and I think that we should be able to do good if I'm elected or involved.
Thank you, Dwayne. Do I have a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Rose, second by Vice Chair Decker. Any comments? Supervisor.
Yeah, I'd just like to say is that there was an email amongst all the supervisors, and on there, I was one of the individuals that referenced being nominated. And then I just want to clarify that, since we're all right here, is that I was spoken with another individual. I said, he sounds like the type of person that should be on a committee like this, a minority, successful business owner in this community, those type of things. And I said, you know, it'd be someone I'd like to get to know to see how we can, you know, if it's a benefit, answer any questions he might have since I'm on this commission. And so that was, I would say, probably the extent of my involvement to start with. You know, I'm glad he went through the process and just made it this far. I think having small business owners that are minorities on this will help and bring a different perspective that I think I don't know who else is on that commission that's a business owner besides myself. But it'll just bring a different perspective to it. So I appreciate you going through all the legwork to get here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other support? Any other comments? Okay, seeing none, youth and government?
Aye.
Supervisors?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, passes unanimous. Okay, number nine would be resolution to appoint Supervisor Andy Berg. He sent me a text saying that is at the doctor with his daughter. If there is no objection, we can go to resolution 10 and then come back to this one. Any objections?
No.
Okay, so let's do resolution number 10. Resolution on a renewable future for Kenosha County, encouraging the strategic development of renewable energy resources in Kenosha County and requesting the state legislature to identify sustainable strategies for such development that maintains the natural character and environment of the state of Wisconsin. I see the sponsor of this resolution is here, so I suppose he's willing to talk about it and tell us. Supervisor Bashaw.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you to the board, and I appreciate the opportunity this evening to speak with you about a resolution about a renewable future. The title doesn't belie specifics about what this is about, thus the wordy explanation that's in the subject matter. As you know, I represent District 19. District 19 is part of that includes Summers in Paris, and I believe everybody knows we have a very, very large solar project ongoing in Paris. It's called Paris Solar. Paris Solar is a massive, expansive energy project that is fundamentally then thought of as manufacturing. So it's a large-scale production facility for creation of electricity utilizing renewable resources or solar. Due to the size and scope of that project, it has taken over approximately 8% of the community's farmlands. It has taken roughly 6% of the community's overall geography to create its power, which is good. The farmers are satisfied that have contracted with, they will be reimbursed appropriately, etc. However, This resolution focuses on giving good thought to what we do with regard to renewable energies going forward. The state mandated and manages that parasolar project, taking away any authority or responsibility from the county and from the communities. It overrides. Small-scale solar, less than 40 acres, less than, I think it's a kilowatt of power, which can produce power for 400 to 700 homes. That is a separate item altogether, but it still engenders the need for farmland, which is converted for use for solar energy. I'm looking at this, I'm not an advocate of solar, I'm not an advocate of wind or renewables, that's not why I'm here. I'm an advocate for how do we develop our future in Kenosha County? How do we look at solar energy going forward? And I would suggest that, based on this resolution, we encourage the state to look at ways to find alternate ways to place solar. I'm not going to pick on one company or another, but everybody sees very large rooftops in our community, including at the airport or through some of the food distribution centers, et cetera. We have very large rooftops that represent an opportunity that could be utilized. So this encourages the state to look at incentives, look at collaborations between government and private partnerships to utilize alternate placement for solar, thereby preserving our agriculture or our historic lands of Wisconsin and protecting our future. So that's the crux of it, and I present it to you this evening.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So is this going to be aimed at a negative approach to what you have there being constructed?
Negative in what way?
Is that the message we're conveying? I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but I'd like to know what your
view is. It is not designed to be negative at all. There is a massive push for renewable resources,
right,
renewable energy. We went to Peoria last weekend, and I can tell you from Rockford all the way down until we got to almost the Bloomington area, it's windmills, stanchions of windmills all the way down. Is that responsible application? I don't know. In Illinois, they feel it is. They place a lot of windmills. It's flat land. It works well. Here, I look at Parasolar, and I drive for 5 miles along Parasolar's operation and say, is this a responsible application of a renewable resource? It could be. Perhaps a more localized, smaller scale would be better. But then there's also another thing happening in our county and other places around the state. We're rapidly developing. We're growing. As we create flat roof spaces, whether it's airport spaces or food distribution or other, these are very large structures that could contain alternate resources, renewable energy in the form of solar. It provides a benefit to those facilities in that it reduces the wear of the surface because now the solar panels are protecting the underlying membranes. They reduce the need for gravel to hold down the membrane on that roof. They protect the building further. They reduce heat inflow to that building, providing an opportunity. Those buildings, if you take a million square foot building is minimum 21 acres of real estate on that roof. That is a tremendous resource that could be utilized for alternate resources, meaning solar energy as well. So it's not degradatory, and it's not meant to in any way create a negative. It's meant to encourage the state to find opportunities for those companies willing to collaborate to create this private-public partnership and place solar potentially on their rooftops if they shouldn't join to do so. Other states mandate it. I'm not encouraging a mandate. I'm encouraging incentives, and that incentive is to preserve the natural beauty and wonder of our state that we have by not continuing to consume it for solar panels when we have this resource that's available and utilize that space. Each time we build a million square foot facility, it's going on virgin land. It's farmland that's converted. It's not that we're tearing down buildings, recycling property, or repositioning property for another use. We're taking farmland for it. Each of those facilities also then require power. So we're taking more farmland for power. So I'm just suggesting through this resolution that the state look at ways to create incentives or opportunities to reduce the impact on our communities by simply taking farmland acres and miles on end to create renewable resources when we have potential opportunities to go another direction. So.
And that other direction is what?
On the roofs, over the parking lots, however they choose to do it. I'm not in any way in here stating how specifically. I'm encouraging the state to look at it and say, what are the opportunities? How could we explore this further? How could we be more responsible and partner with our businesses to do so?
This is one of those areas I would like to have more information on. I'm not sure. I just understanding it's a complicated. I'm not saying I'm for it. I'm not saying against it. I'd like to have some more information about
it. It's a very complicated issue, but this doesn't create a mandate in any way. This is encouraging the state to explore ways and encouraging our communities to explore ways that they can create public-private partnerships and opportunities to investigate how renewable energy could be incorporated into their building plan. We have a new construction that's going up right now. They have already incorporated into their design structure the trusses and the features such that they could put on roughly 15 acres of solar. So if We Energies, who has already come and talked to them, is interested, We Energies would help them position that solar onto the rooftop. They have the immediate benefit of being a zero negative. In other words, they don't consume from the grid. They consume directly from their roof. Plus, they're a positive in that throw off energy that is produced, because it's a very large structure, could then benefit the surrounding communities. It could. If they chose not to, it then would not. Then they have to draw from the grid. So this is encouraging us to take a look at how this is evolving around us. Instead of allowing it to happen in the manner it is right now, which is path of least resistance. The path of least resistance concept puts us in a situation where we have the law of unintended consequences as well. We take 8% of the farmland out of Paris, that farmland will not come back. Even though I know it says in the contract that it'll be restored after 30 or 50 years after the first extension to arable farmland. Well, that's fine, but if no farmers are left to farm it, it's meaningless. It's not farmland any longer. So why are we degrading our natural areas when we have these other areas that could be benefited to the community as a whole, to the state, and to all of us, quite honestly? Didn't quite answer your question because the details, you're not giving me specific
details. No, I know.
To know.
So what position did the community take when this must have come up before some board? No,
this hasn't come up before because it hasn't been addressed before. We did
so it's never come up before any.
We did have a lot of email communication around a group that sent an email out that had, and I'll be blunt, had misinformation in it. I copied the resolution and sent it back to the individuals on it. From that, I've had a number of conversations, including with people that are actively engaged in the solar industry, indicating the benefits, several that I mentioned already, that came from an engineer who's directly involved in solar energy.
That's right. Anything
else there?
Yeah, thank you.
Anybody else?
Have you talked to the other municipalities that actually contain TIF districts that have oversight, I guess, control the TIF districts is the best way to say it, what their thoughts are on this? I mean, we're talking Kenosha, Pleasant Prairie, Summers, Salem Lakes, Bristol, and I think Twin Lakes even has a TIF district. Have you talked to any of those municipalities about this?
I haven't discussed this with them as far as TIF districts because it doesn't create a mandate. It simply encourages them to look at what strategies they could incorporate into their planning and into their future state such that they would create public-private partnerships to figure out how they might do it. I'll tell you, Pleasant Prairie has incorporated solar into their new police station, new police and fire. So it is a core part of their culture as they continue to develop. Go up into Summers, we have a beautiful new campus for the military museum, Pritzker Military Museum. It is self-sustaining. He has installed his own solar operation to sustain his energy needs for that operation up there. It's interesting. It's his desire to do so, and he has done it. I mentioned Summers Paris border business that's incorporated the trussing to make sure that they're prepared so they could add solar if they chose to do so. There's nothing in here that mandates that anyone do anything. There's encouragement in here to look at how we can utilize different districts, different opportunities. In a TIF zone, and you're focused on that, in a TIF zone, there is an opportunity to say, you're getting benefit, we're getting benefit, what other benefits could potentially be incorporated? I don't know. It's up to the communities to decide that. This simply encourages them to explore what they might do for the future. Rather than allowing the future to define us, we get to define what that might look like.
Have you talked to CABA?
I have not talked to CABA.
Okay. So I have issues with the wording of this, and I know...
Do we need a motion to keep talking about this? Or
no.
I'm just asking.
No, we can.
Okay, all right.
No. So my issues are, and Supervisor Nordegan knows this because I'll bring up the topic. When we use the word encourage and promote, that means we're going to spend county tax dollars to encourage and promote. I recall voting against a bike plan, that we were just passing a bike plan, but we have spent millions of dollars implementing a bike plan because the county board passed a bike plan. If we are going to encourage and promote, that means the administration possibly will run with that. And encourage and promote many times leads to mandating it, requiring it. That's just the way it works. Seatbelts were not mandated. Then the government encouraged people by making them ding when you didn't use them. Now they're mandated. Things like that always happen. And that's when I see encourage and promote with the words, when government's involved, it turns into a mandate, in my opinion. That was one thing, and businesses are already doing it if they want to. So if a business wants to do this, they can. They're actually being encouraged by the federal government with tax incentives or tax credits. That's why we are possibly putting solar panels on the new human services building, because we're supposed to be getting tax credits for that. So businesses that want to do it will do it. I don't think the county should be spending resources encouraging businesses. And I also think if we are doing this, we're going to become an island with the other counties on this corridor, that businesses will just hop over us if we are pushing solar power, and it's very expensive, and the return on investment is questionable based on the life of solar panels versus the cost. What else? I guess that's my... another issue I had, and I don't know the answer to this, and I was just thinking this, and I had discussed it with some other county board supervisors. If businesses get a tax credit from the federal government, that means taxpayers are paying for those solar panels. If they get into a TIF and those TIF dollars are used to subsidize those solar panels, then the taxpayers are also basically paying for it again, because that extends the life of our TIFs, in which the county and the schools don't get that increment of that tax financing for up to 40 years. So it's almost as if the taxpayers would be possibly paying for these twice. That's the way my thought process is. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's just my thought process. So that's my issue with this. I just believe the free market should be able to dictate this, and businesses, or the free market, do what it wants, and that businesses, if they want to set up their own business with trusses that they can put solar panels on it in the future, I think that's great. I think it's great that the Prisker Museum is putting their own solar panels on their building, but I don't think the county should be mandating it or promoting it, because that always, in my opinion, leads to mandates. So that's it.
Any other comments? Supervisor
Thomas. Yeah, just have a couple points. One is that you described earlier, the free market is already sort of taking care of this, where people are adding it on their own. So I don't see where we need to get involved with promoting it or encouraging it, because they're doing it on their own. The other thing that's happening is that these solar farms have to be of a certain size for the county to benefit on a, I don't want to call it a tax, but we get a certain amount of money based upon the megawatts of a solar farm. There's not going to be a solar farm on any building's roof that will be large enough that we can get any tax benefit. We're after they tore down the Pleasant Prairie Energy Plant, I think we're going to go from, I'm not going to get these numbers exact, but 500,000 down to zero over 5 years. Once this solar farm becomes operational, we're going to get about, I think it's about $350,000 a year. Paris will get about $200,000. Now, that might sound like a lot of money, but the one thing that we're not going to get out of that is probably one of the, you know, as far as where a lot of development is going, it's going in that northwest part of the county. What we've done is we've taken 5,000 acres off any potential of building any homes there. If we have any kind of loss, it's going to be the loss of property taxes on houses that could be built there. The other thing that we're experiencing in this county is that we have a huge declining enrollment in our school system. And we just consume 5,000 acres that no kid will ever grow up on. So I have real issues with the state telling us that, yeah, we want to put a solar farm here that's going to be 5,000 acres, and we'll never collect really a dime in property taxes because it's still being taxed at agriculture. So I agree with the second part of this, where we need to tell the state that they have to turn it back to us and we approve or disapprove of what they want to put on there. I can't agree with the first part of it. Maybe we can write something that deals only with that slice of the legislation that gives all the ability to the state and takes us out of it. But there are some much greater issues on the property tax side of things. You know, they don't rezone that property, even though the farmer still owns it and he's leasing it to another company that's now leasing it to We Energies. There's some huge issues there, but we won't gain as a county or any of the local municipalities any type of revenue sharing. That's what they call it at the state level, revenue sharing, when it's a power plant that comes back because they don't pay property taxes. And we won't get any of that if it's scattered on 100 different buildings that are, you know, 500,000 square feet or a million. So from a county standpoint, it doesn't make any sense economically to generate all this power over all these different areas. It also probably doesn't make sense for them to use that type of energy coming off the roof of these buildings, because it's not going to go, you know, now they, one reason they picked Paris is because there's a grid already there and it was easy to tap into it, you know. So, but they can't do that at all these individual buildings and all these industrial parks. So for them to say, yeah, we're going to duplicate a solar farm on 100 different roofs just isn't possible. So we're sort of talking about two different things. But I agree, most people don't know this, but we're the third smallest county in the state. Third smallest county geographically, isn't that where we are? You know, and we can't afford to have thousands of acres being consumed when we have hard enough people moving here and making housing affordable. If we start consuming it with where people are gonna wanna live, you know, 50 years from now, no one's still going to be living there, or probably 75 years from now. So I like parts of it, but not all of it collectively. So.
Any other comments?
Question to Brian. So your proposal here is merely to ask the state to study.
Correct.
It's not to mandate anything, or?
There are no mandates. There are no requirements. It is an advisory referendum.
Resolution. So you're not taking a position. They might very well adopt one position or another.
They could go whichever way they wanted to, quite honestly. My position is we need to give more thought to it.
Okay.
We need to take an active role in what's happening rather than, as I said, the path of least resistance. Farm land looks great, and I disagree that it was easy to connect, because I see the new power poles that go through. They had to create a trunk line in order to connect Paris Solar to the grid. As far as rooftops being small, A million square feet is 32.78 acres of land. That's in community level solar. That amount of space will generate power for 1,400 homes. It takes roughly one-fifth of our community as homes are serviced. Not a bad deal. So it encourages looking at ways that we can leverage this real estate that's being generated. And Supervisor Thomas, if the individuals at the state are intelligent enough to write legislation around it, I would hope they're intelligent enough to then say, how do we remunerate appropriately as well, since it is a public utility. So I can't see that as being a negative or deleterious. As far as connecting from a building to another building or a building to a central trunk, that's a power lines. We bore power lines directionally and move them every day of the week. So as part of our utility infrastructure. So I don't see the negatives. I see the opportunity to inform the discussion to say, how do we do this in a more intelligent way? Just taking farmland, 8% of Paris, to stick 10-foot posts in the ground and put power panels, solar panels on it, is not, in my mind, an intelligent way to roll out solar. Can we resist solar? I don't believe so. I think that horse has already left the barn, it's running down the track, and either we help run with it and understand where it's going to go, or it's going to run away with us. So we need to get into the discussion. We need to get into the fight to say, let's do this in a much more intelligent way.
I move the resolution.
Okay. Second, Supervisor Kara. Any discussion, Supervisor?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I liken this to the electric vehicles. I don't recall anything happening with that. The market just took over. It was what happened. I don't see where this is going to move anything one way or another from the state. I understand it. Appreciate the information in here, some good information in here. Don't disagree with what I'm talking about, but I think it's happening already, and we just had several examples of it happening. Being in business and around business my whole life, if it's an advantage for a business to do it, they're going to do it. And if the federal government's coming up with a 30% tax or whatever it is, like they did with vehicles and efficient windows and, you know, doing things better, I think it's already here. The horse has left the barn, agreed. But it also has left the barn, people knowing that they can do this and companies knowing that they can do this. I don't think that the resolution in and of itself is anything more than just telling them what we'd like to see. And I don't think it does anything at the state to do that. I think it comes from, probably more comes from the federal government down than from us up in order to work on this a little bit, or to make this happen as it's happening. Because I don't think we've done anything in this county to have these other solar products going on. I am concerned about the solar, how much is being used. I don't know why it just didn't go with the power plant to begin with. That was torn down. That was the ideal place. But again, you know, I don't know that there's anything more that the state would or wouldn't do if it doesn't get direction from probably the federal government. And not saying that's good. I'm just saying that's the way it is. I don't think we can push it, and I don't know that this will have the outcome that Supervisor Bashaw is expecting on it. So, my opinion. Thank you.
Any other comments, Supervisor?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I disagree with the notion that this is neutral, and that, you know, it doesn't say one thing or the other, because this resolution asks the state to act on renewable energy and says it makes an official position for the county that it supports and supports renewable energy and the use of it, especially in the TIFs. And the TIFs part is what concerns me most. And we heard from other supervisors, you know, this is taking property off the tax rolls, or even then putting property that's on the tax rolls now, if we change the TIF requirements, opening up a window for development now that may not already be in a TIF to be put into a TIF. And that the bottom line is that hurts the county financially, because it's tax money, it's tax revenue that's not coming in to the county from this development, and instead gets the burden is placed on our constituents, on their homes. And while we see when one taxing authority issues a TIF, the state makes whole the other municipalities. They don't make whole the county. And that's a real concern for me, as well as the concerns that Supervisor Thomas stated with development. I mean, we have a housing crisis as it is now, and I understand this would promote investment in already developed property, but if the reward was worth it, they would have done it by now. And I don't think the reward is tax incentives that are a burden on our constituents. And, you know, if a multi-billion dollar corporation like Uline, Amazon, Kroger, GFS, I mean, these are the organizations that you're speaking of when we're talking about these large footprints of building in Kenosha County, they have the wherewithal and the means to invest in solar energy or renewable energy as a whole. And if they're not doing it, they have a reason they're not doing it. And I don't want to subsidize these multi-billion dollar corporations on behalf of the you know, the residents of the 8th District. We're a lower income district, and I don't see it's fair for my constituents, so I won't be supporting it tonight.
Supervisor Carroll.
So it appears that we're trying to address two fundamental questions here. One is, how do we as a board feel about what's happened with Paris Solar without any input from the board at all, and is basically controlling a major sector of our county? Now, 5,000 acres, it's pretty substantial, and I don't think we've ever had a development in the history of the county that's taken up 5,000 acres in a single, you know, couple year period like that has. So I think that that's pretty substantial, and I think we should be concerned about something like that perpetuating. So I think that that's probably what kickstarted. I can't speak for you, and I haven't talked to you about this one, but I have a feeling that that's probably where our concern is. We just enacted on planning and development a ordinance to try to handle all of the types of solar projects that are below the threshold of the utility grade that's there, so that way we have a way of at least managing to the best of our abilities future solar developments. And so it's hard to, as a community, sit back and just say, hey, yeah, we're just gonna have to take it as it comes, when it comes, and have to deal with it and not have a say in it. So how do we address and overcome that first issue where we don't have a say, we don't even have a seat at the table? I think that that's what you're attempting to address. And then you're trying to take it to the next step further and say, well, let's try to figure out a way that we can reduce the demand on the open land by trying to incorporate it in something that's already already under development, you might say, already roof and bricks going on. Okay, get it, understand. Can we separate those two? Can we find a resolution that addresses one and then maybe addresses the other in a different way? I guess I'm challenging the board here, the executive committee, to say, what can we come to terms with on this? What can we find? Because, and I don't know if I can ask this, I'm just gonna ask the question. Who thinks that the current way of the utility companies doing this with 5,000 acres in the county is a good thing for us? Do we think that's a good thing? I don't think so. So what position do we want to take then? Go ahead. It's okay. A free and open discussion.
Did you want to answer the question?
Well, I have a resolution that is getting referred to, I believe, the legislative committee, where we ask the legislature to change the state law. So well, that way, he's asking about this. What he's asking about.
Yeah, but let's not talk about the other resolutions that are coming up or they are not.
Okay, there. Well, there's something that's coming up in the legislative committee addressing one of your issues.
Would it wholeheartedly address it?
Well, we can only ask the state legislature to do it. They're the ones in charge.
Similar to this.
Okay.
Does this help in any way to with that? I'm trying to find out if this is a good thing to push forward for or not. And it's just
sure. I'm going to make a comment on that.
If you guys want it, I can pass the gavel, but usually in committees, we're kind of on a freak things that we want to do it. Here again, we go, which I agree pretty much with what the Supervisor Carroll stated, where it's going to go. Going back on a comment that Supervisor Nordgren made before, we don't know if that's going to do anything, that's going to help or whatever. Well, that's the case in every, we send many resolutions to the state or whatever, asking them to look at something. We don't know if it's going to go through or not, okay? So I think that we will know until it goes there. Nothing might happen. In fact, every resolutions, I shouldn't say every resolution, but a lot of these resolutions that either our county passes or another county passes, we send it to each other, encouraging them to do it, which basically the only thing it's doing is it feasible to do it, you know, for them to look at it, and also how it can be done. About the savings, well, whether we pay through tax, TIFs, or whatever, or a corporation pays, like Supervisor Rodriguez mentioned, Amazon, you know, all the big companies, basically. At the end, we pay for that. Because if they gotta pay so much money, guess what? The prices are gonna go up. So the consumers are gonna pay even more than the other thing. And the same thing when we say we're not gonna send it because, well, it's the legislation and we do this here. Well, why do we send all those other resolutions in? This just to look at it and see, is there any way that can be done or what could be done? Well, let them come up with that. Okay. Supervisor,
I have to state this resolution does not just send it up to the state legislature. There's a lot of stuff that is telling that Kenosha County should be doing. So it's not just asking the legislature to do something. It's also telling this, telling the administration that we are supposed to encourage and promote solar or renewable energy, and we're supposed to encourage and promote things, large rooftop things and all this stuff. So it's not just to tell, ask the state to change it and to look into it. It also directs the administration to encourage and promote this.
Supervisor Christopher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Wisconsin Counties Association had a two-part session on solar. And long story short, the thing I remember is if it's 100 megawatts or more, it's regulated by Public Service Commission. And again, long story short, it's stunning how much local control was lost. That's a completely separate issue. It's very complex. There's extreme legalities involved in it. I do think at some point it would be good for the county to look at that and for the WCA and the rest of the counties to look at that, but that's a, I see it as a separate issue. That was the comment I wanted to make.
Thank you. Anybody else? Supervisor.
Well, and I understand what you're talking about, Chairman Noodle, on we send lots of stuff up. My point on that was, in this particular case, it really isn't going to do anything. I mean, solar is here, it's what it is, and to get back maybe to what Supervisor Stark said, if this was changed to say, we'd like to, the county to have, and the municipalities to have more say in this arena, I would be all for that. There's a lot of things in here that I'm not necessarily for, and I think Supervisor Decker brought it up well enough about the promote and encourage. I just feel that the this just is going further than what it is that I think a lot of us, I think Supervisor Carroll brought it up, what do we do to offset what it is that's trying? ATC lines, all those American transmission lines, took a complete rural area and made it basically industrial area with all of these power lines. We had no say in it. Wheatland didn't, Randall didn't, Twin Lakes didn't. No one had any say in it. And it's butt ugly, if you excuse my expression. It's needed. I'm not saying it's not needed, but it's certainly, they could have worked within the municipalities and gone in. That's where my, is. I don't think all of the other stuff in here is what we should be looking at. I would, you know, and to get back to the 5,000 acres, that does concern me. So thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I move to table this to the next meeting.
Got a second. no second. So any other discussion? So
yeah, I just want to follow up on one thing. Supervisor Decker was talking about encourage and promote. You guys can't drive through Kenosha County without seeing bike route signs everywhere. This amount, and I got these numbers from Clement, so I'm assuming these are 100% accurate. The county spent $680,000 to put up 1,000+ of those bike route signs. There was never $680,000 in a budget to pay for those signs. They came from an assortment of other places.
I think we're getting away from
No. What I'm saying is I would hate for 10 years from now or 5 years from now, someone said promote and encourage, and they use that same discretion to start spending money on promoting and encouraging something, and we're spending a similar amount of money to do something just because it's someone's pet project, a county board supervisor's pet project, to do something similar. And that's what happened. You know, so that's what I'm just saying. So something like that could be interpreted in however they want, based on whoever the county exec is in that case.
Okay, just to answer on that, yeah. How much we'll spend on bike paths, which we say we're not going to talk about.
Yeah,
that,
and this wasn't even a bike path. These were signs.
That was not agreed on. I was there with Supervisor Decker, and actually we were able to stop it at the beginning, but that somehow we came back in it. In the way it was done, okay, and it was passed by the board, which I hope not anybody's going to do that, but the county executive and the board, they just turned around, and they things that were not in the budget were not meant to be, so we cannot, you know, it's up to the board to look at it.
Right.
So by just encouraging, that doesn't mean that we go out and spend the money. Okay, Supervisor Kara.
Okay, thank you, Chairman Nuto. So I understand where Supervisor Rose was coming from the table to the next meeting, because it sounds like we're talking in circles here a little bit. Is there any discussion that can be had that can be, should we advise Supervisor Bashaw of, you know, can we reword things in any way to make it so that the committee would be more favorable to it? You know, I understand the encourage and promote in the TIF districts, but I also want to, you know, what you said, Chairman Nuto, about we're paying for this stuff anyway. It's like there's an expense and there's a cost that this county's going to have for losing the farmland, for you know, developing the energy sources. And it's like, either way, if the solar and wind is more expensive, we're just paying for it in higher energy costs anyway at the meter. Because I've heard that the coal plant was X amount of dollars per megawatt or cents per megawatt, whatever, and now the solar and the wind is X amount more, and we're just paying more for it. It's all coming out of our pockets anyway. So it's like, okay, is there a better way to do this? And can we as a board, as the leaders in our community, try to direct this in the best way that we see possible? And I think that that's probably, I can ask Supervisor Bashaw, but that's the way I'm taking this, is trying to be like, let's go in the right direction with this one. So if we need a little more time and a little more guidance, then I would say let's go ahead and discuss that right now.
Okay, just to answer on that is, again, if we're on a table, I mean, the not go through it, whatever. I just want to remind everybody that this was first brought up probably, what, a couple months ago? It went through committee. Then it went to county board. I mean, you know, there's been time after time after time. So it's either, I guess, we pass it, we reject it, we modify it, or whatever. But to table, I think it's not really going to make any difference. Okay, any other comments? Supervisor Bishop.
I'll share some numbers and encourage folks to reread the Be It Further Resolved statements, but some numbers. 10 acres of solar farm can generate at least 1 megawatt of power. 1 megawatt of power can supply 400 plus homes. It's actually 400 to 700, depending on the home usage. 30 acres of solar on a rooftop farm could potentially produce greater than 3 megawatts of power, which supplies 1,200 homes. 1 million square feet is greater than 30 acres. It's roughly 32.8, so just call it 32 acres. One company is building 5 million square feet, according to the paper on Sunday, which, multiplying these numbers times 5, represents adequate power for how many homes? 1,200 by 5, let's call it 7,000 homes. That's 1/10 of all the homes in the county, powered just through those rooftops, if they chose to do so. Nothing in here is a mandate. Nothing in here says they must. It is to get into the discussion and help to shape the discussion such that we don't continue on the path we're on. Micro solar, residential level solar, community co-op level solar. That is what Supervisor Decker's resolution focuses more toward. It's small scale. Small scale are approximately a megawatt per each. We just approved one through PDEC 2 months ago, I believe it was, out in Wheatland. And I've talked to them. I have their input on this as well. In the input from them, they made it clear that their concern is financial because it takes away from what they do. They don't do rooftop, they do fields. Their words, not mine. I'm encouraging us to think prospectively, what could be, how could we do something different, how could we shape the discussion rather than allowing the discussion to shape us. That's the point, that's the purpose, and I hope you see it that way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Any other comment? Seeing none,
roll
all in favor?
Roll call or question.
Okay, roll call, all in favor, Supervisor Rose?
Yes, and governance. Yes.
Oh, sorry, you're the governance?
Aye.
Okay,
aye.
Supervisor Rose?
No.
No.
Aye. No.
Aye. So what was that?
Four no's, three yeses.
Huh?
Four and three.
Four and three didn't pass.
Four and three did not pass.
Right.
Okay. Oh, I forgot to take my special there. Oh, you don't want that. Okay. I guess I see the supervisor
Berg
is here. So where's Tammy? Tammy.
Nope.
This is yours.
That's you.
Oh,
that's
yours.
Your appointee.
No offense, Supervisor.
I'm so used to you now.
Yeah.
Okay. How about you, Joe?
Oh, well, all right. He's already in the chair. So, very briefly, this is Chairman Nudo's appointment. As the committee is aware, under the resolution that created the Racial and Ethnic Equity Commission, the two seats are to be filled by county board supervisors appointed by the county board chair and confirmed by the county board. Supervisor Berg would be succeeding Supervisor Gashke, who is coming to the end of his two-year term, was asked to consider continuing, indicated that he didn't think that he would be able to due to family commitments. And so Chairman Nudo has appointed Supervisor Berg.
Thank you, Joe. Supervisor Berg, would you like to make a comment or so?
Right now, I'll just thank you for postponing this for me for a couple of minutes because my daughter's doctor's appointment. The doctor was running late, so I didn't want to push the doctor to hurry up with what you're doing, but thank you. Luckily, it was just a block away. So with that, I'll field any questions if there are any.
Okay. Any comments? Move to approve by Supervisor Nordigan.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Thomas. Any comments? And I believe Supervisor Poole. John?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm here to ask you to please vote no on Andy Berg's nomination. He has lied about me saying I was not a Vietnam veteran, which he knew was a lie. That's not the kind of person we need on that commission. We don't need people on this commission who will throw around incendiary comments and possibly get another riot in Kenosha. We need people who will thoughtfully consider information presented and make rational decisions. And I don't think Supervisor Berg is that person. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Any other comments?
Not a substantive comment, but I apologize. I should have said this in my introductory remarks. I believe that the version that the committee would have in its materials contains one Scrivener's error in the third line of the be it resolved. It inadvertently says Supervisor Thomas's appointment. I was working off of the template of the last go around. I have a corrected one. All of the other places it says Berg, but I missed that one. So I do apologize for that error. And if and I've got that corrected, if there's no objection, I would ask that the committee simply accept that correction.
Kim?
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Roll call.
Roll call, as? Okay, Supervisor, instead of, yeah, 1 minute, motion and a second.
Youth and Governance?
Yeah, Youth and Governance, thank you.
Aye.
Aye.
Supervisor Rose?
No.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Aye.
Aye. So it will pass this 4-3.
Is that right, Joe?
Would have been a lot easier with names rather than my trying to catch the voices as they went past.
Okay, Supervisor, we'll go through it. Supervisor Rose, I think, was no.
Correct.
If I may. So
please,
this is what I have. Rodriguez, nay. Thomas, aye. Nordigan, aye. Caro, aye. Rose, no. Decker, no. Nudo, aye. Is that correct? Does that reflect everyone's vote?
Yes, that is correct. Okay, thank you. Then we'll move to, thank you. Sorry, Joe. Wow, I'm sure I'm saying all the names correct today, huh?
Call me
Starzak, though. Wait. I might call you what I usually do when we're alone. So.
Yeah.
Let's forget that part. Okay. Number 15, review of budget vision session. The reason I put that in there is that just I wanted to go through just a couple comments and see if you guys got any comments. We had the budget vision last Tuesday. I think it was very good. Thank you for everybody attending. We had some good questions, everything with an idea on what to expect for the coming budget. We're going to have another one, I believe it's in August sometime, but I don't think we have a date set, right, Joe?
Okay. Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, so we don't have a date, but it's going to be sometime in August. That will give us a chance now, based on what we talked on last Tuesday. Anybody that has got any comments or any questions, feel free to send it to the county executive office, which you can pass it through the department heads or whoever's involved, and also we'll have a nice meeting at the next time. Is there any comments by anyone that want to make a supervisor?
Yeah, I just, if you want to relay to the executive, I just thought that was very helpful to have everybody in the room. It was, I think it was the first time something like that had been done, that my understanding, only being on this for a year and a few days now, but the one thing I think that would be helpful overall in all this is if we knew we were making decisions based upon a 5 or a 10 year plan, and also part of that plan would be on how effective some of the programs are in DCFS, to know if we need to spend money, continue to spend money in those, or say, hey, that program hasn't, it's working really well the last 5 years and we're getting great results, and this program is not working so well and we need to look at a different way to address that issue. You know, I've sat through a number of meetings where they talk about the effectiveness of a program based on statistics, but it's hard to see where things are getting improved. Another thing that makes me think about this is we're going to be getting, I don't know what the exact amount is based upon how we do this settlement with the opioid money, we're going to be getting millions of dollars to do programs again that are not tax levy dollars. And good, bad, or indifferent, I think government has a habit of spending money on programs without determining their effectiveness or not. And we have, I'll just give you one small example. In the Kenosha Unified School District actually gives DCFS, or Human Services, about $240,000 a year to develop a liaison program for the middle school kids and the high school kids in Kenosha Unified, not the other schools, because it comes directly for them. And it's to deal with what I call the triage of habitually truant students. And I don't know if this comes directly from a grant that Kenosha Unified has to redistribute or if it's their tax levy money, but they don't spend any money on the K through five kids on this grant. And it seems like that money would be much better spent that they spend on 6 through 12 on K through five. When you got younger parents in the part of this triage program is to help the whole families complete this program. And it's a very, very, did I say very? Very, very small percentage of the population of the kids who are habitually truant that they go after. And these are referrals from the school district. I'll just give you more numbers. There's about, the last time they had to report these to the state, there were 1,300 habitually truant students, and I don't know how many chronically absentee, and just in the Kenosha Unified School District in high school. This liaison program helped 80 kids, 80 families, and 58 of them successfully. So it's a very, very small percentage, but there's going to be a shortage. There already is a shortage of social workers, and if we can't deal with it on the front end to slow down the number of kids getting it in the back end, you know, so that's like I would like to see where those dollars are spent and how can we be more preventative, like paving 14 miles of road so they don't go too bad and doing our security system for our computer systems and IT. And we spend all, you know, God only knows how much money we're going to spend on that to update everything. But it seems like in some areas we just, we're not coming up with those preventative programs like on the human side of things. And I would like that kind of information on effectiveness of programs if you can pass that on, Tammy.
Anybody else?
I thought it was great having this. Like Supervisor Thomas said, this was the first time this was done in our county. But one thing I would have liked to see or heard from is our other elected officials. We heard from the sheriff, which was great, but we have other constitutional officers as well. And I'd like to hear from them, what challenges do they foresee in the next year, and what will they be asking for in their budgets as well? Because they provide just as critical services to our constituents as the sheriff does. So, thank you.
Anybody else?
Okay, well, the mayor's list may be appropriately. I believe our next meeting is the 25th.
You're going to stick with the fourth Thursday, yes?
Yes. So it's going to be May 25th. Same time, same place.
We'll adjourn.
Second. Moved by Supervisor Wirth. Second by
Rodriguez.
Supervisor Rodriguez. All in favor, Ms. Governor?
Aye.
Supervisor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.
So we'll see this resolution. Tuesday.
Yeah, at your next meeting, it got referred. It got referred to you guys already.
Yeah, but was it, there wasn't any.
Yes, there was.